Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again for one of our industry overviews. This one's going to be a little bit different because we are covering services, and that is such a vast industry when you really get down into it. I think today the focus is really going to be on professional services, field services, and then project management. So, Sean, we can jump right into that. Great. I know we've been giving kind of an overview. Do you think it would be best to give an overview of each of those three that we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, awesome. Let's do it. So generally, when we talk about services, we're talking about, of course, like non-inventory product stuff, right? So we could have everything from energy services to professional services like us to services of working in the field services that could cover tons of different industries, frankly. Mm-hmm. But the bigger sort of concept that ties all this together is project management. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, too, because even in a lot of our manufacturers, they have very high project management requirements around products that they're building, especially engineer-to-order companies. We're going to leave that over here for now. We're literally just going to talk about, again, companies, nonprofits that have more kind of people-based services mm-hmm. that they're providing and have to bill for and cost for and sort of manage projects around.
Awesome. Good to know.
Yep.
Well, for anybody joining, let's kind of go through the main pain points that services companies experience. I'm sure you'll want to split that up, but I think the pain points are pretty similar across service companies.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. So it sort of starts off with, there's so many presentations that we're working on literally right now, just like going through my head. I'm like, okay, here we go. There's a lot of pain. That's really what it comes down to, because especially literally right now, and I would think we'll talk about trends into 2024 for services firms, but the valuation on services firms that provide services to businesses, right, business services, mm-hmm. is actually really high. So we have a lot of companies that we're working with right now that are looking at new solutions. And some of these companies are on really good solutions already. Mm-hmm. So they're like, hey, we need new software. And we're saying like, well, actually, the problem that you have, it's there is no unicorn, as one of our lovely consultants, Carly, mentioned. I said, I don't think we should call it a unicorn. We probably need to be a little more formal, Carly. So it was good. But it communicated, actually, that there's not like the perfect services application that's out there per se, because the pain points go from the life cycle of a project and wanting the visibility of the project from beginning to end, including resource allocation, resource management, all the way through billing and costing and all the stuff that's pretty straightforward with it that a service firm has to deal with, is really hard. Like mm-hmm. even in our firm, we use a very specific best of breed professional service automation solution, and it does great, but yet we also still use Smartsheet.
Yeah.
We still use a lot of Box. We have gigs and gigabytes of space on Box. We even use Evernote to capture mm-hmm. notes. You know, we have other task execution systems that we use. So you get all this data about the project sort of disparate and spread about. That's the biggest challenge that services organizations have.
Awesome. Do you think that there are any to pluck out of field services? How that differentiates from the professional services?
Yeah, field services is more about accessibility right into the field. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of people. You know, we have some firms that we work with that have thousands of field services. We actually do have, frankly, a distributor that has a team of 20 field services people. So the requirements there and the pain points are similar in that we are looking at, you know, we have a service request that comes in, or there's preventative maintenance work orders that come in. How do we assign resources mm-hmm. to that? How much time did they do on that job? What materials did they actually use? So how do we cost, but then how do we also bill for it? But there's a lot of other sort of emerging trends and requirements around, like geofencing. So when a person is in a certain area, literally, and their phone picks up the longitude and latitude of where they're at on the planet, that could actually kick off billing. Mm-hmm. So the apps know, oh, the person's within 50 feet of the building that they're supposed to go and fix the HVAC system for. So, you know, now we're going to start tracking their mm-hmm. time, right? Versus the drive time versus the time they're in their house preparing. So, you know, you get like this, the field services is definitely dealing more with the mobility piece mm-hmm. than say corporations are, or even some of the nonprofits are, but very similar kinds of issues.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I've even talked to people that are in the field service industry, and I know that they get frustrated because they have to pull their laptop out and then log their time and then go run it and then go back in and do this. And it's manual, submit this. And so that definitely makes sense that they're struggling with some of those things.
Yep.
So with recent technology and industry changes, how do you think the service industry was impacted in 2023?
I think what happened was... I just get like this kind of dissatisfaction. Mm. I think a lot of services firms tend to be a little more tech savvy,
yeah.
a little more willing to invest in technology. So I think a lot of companies, organizations have done that. And I think they're getting to a point where they're kind of like, this is it. Like, yeah, this is all you get. And they're like, that ain't good enough. And we're like, I know, let's see what else you can find. And they're like, okay, no, just kidding. Kind of like that though. Like, but seriously, that I do think a lot of services firms bought PSA tools, professional service automation, project portfolio management. They brought these sort of platform solutions like Basecamp, or now we've got Monday, we've got Smartsheet, mm-hmm. We've got these platforms that they're building out work breakdown structure, project execution environments, collaboration environments on, and they're really being driven by, you know, some key people in the organization that are sort mm-hmm. of organically building out these monstrosities. I mean, they can really become like a custom ERP. Like yeah. we've gone into several clients and we're like, wow, you know, that's more complex than like the ERP.
Yeah.
Because they are. But those tools, especially like the ones I just said, they're so flexible and they're kind of cool, you know, mm-hmm. so you can build out so much on that. But then you've got the risk of any custom system where what if that person leaves, or I mean, even for instance, for us, we use Smartsheet for tracking scores for mini demos and final demos. And we send the score sheets, the sheets out to folks to enter their scores, mm-hmm. Scorecards. And then whoop, the system, we use Smartsheet that basically sort of aggregates, does some averages, and then puts the results out in a scorecard. Well, the person who wrote that originally for us left, right? So then we had another mm-hmm. person go in and understand it and clean it up. It's always how it usually goes. But now we sort of have this custom scorecard system, right? Hey, we should go sell that. Don't do it. That's my little warning to you out there. I know your systems are beautiful, but you're not in the business of selling yeah. software. You don't want to do that because then you have to maintain it. You got to update it. You got to like certify it for different industries. You have to document it. Don't go there. But again, long story short, there's so many tools in the services industries that you can leverage for different pieces and parts. But the ultimate problem is, just like Carly said, there is no unicorn. There yeah. isn't that one app that brings everything together in a way that is so simple that you don't need to have five or six different specialists to know all these different tools.
Yeah. And then it also comes to like, who has access to it? Who are you giving access to it?
That's right.
Are they allowed to go into everything? No, because if you do that, then there's going to be another problem. And then all of a sudden, data is getting changed and no one knows about it. And...
Well, or even we had one client that we had, we used the PSA solution for expense management, which mm-hmm. is really helpful because then all your expenses go in with your, you know, your hours, your billable hours, and you can see the whole, you know, for billing and everything. But other people could see the expense reports. So you would have the CEO or the senior director's expense reports, and other people are looking at that like, wow, why did this person spend all this money on travel? They shouldn't, mm-hmm. I only get this much. Yeah, but if you look a little closer, the person flew around the world in a week.
Yeah.
You know, you had to go to like, you know, Tallahassee and back or something. So, you know, their data security aggregation as well as segregation is what I'm looking for. It's vital in ProServe. You don't want to put mm-hmm. people's specific salaries in your system.
No.
But for costing, you kind of need to know how much each person cost, right? So there's ways of getting around that. But as data becomes more accessible and the integrations, like with payroll systems, become deeper, we did have a client that was like that. They're like, no, we want actual costs in the system and we're going to prevent other users from seeing it. Well, guess what? They didn't. Another user saw it. So it can lead to some interesting conversations, especially in a pro surf firm. Oh man, where a person one day can, you know, they can crawl out of bed, they get to their computer and they work all day, right? And then they're like, I quit at the end of the day, and then they go to bed, and then the next day they start with their new company and they walk 3 feet.
Yeah.
And because they were mad about something, I don't know. But so it is just a little more sensitive around data segregation, I should say, for professional services firms. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, definitely. So what's the greatest challenge service companies should look out for in 2024? And I really think the challenges for field service versus professional service project management, they're different when they really segment them out.
Yeah, I think both organizations, and if you don't say this, then you're like, you have your head so far into the ground that you shouldn't even be doing webinars and stuff. Definitely just the available talent, mm-hmm. right? Of all of the organizations and the industries out there, the services firms are very reliant on people.
Yeah.
So something's different with the amount of people. It seems like everywhere you go, especially during the day, like if you're like, hey, I'm going to go get a coffee or something, and you're out driving around, like there's a lot of people out here. There's a lot of people around.
Yeah.
You know, any city that I travel to, anywhere, it seems like it, where I've been around the country in 2023, there's a lot of people at all kinds of times throughout the mm-hmm. day. So surprisingly, it does seem like there is a talent shortage. Everybody would agree with that across almost any kind of business, but definitely services firms. I'm talking ProServe. I'm definitely talking field services too.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? Where'd all those people go? Why don't we have more people? And I do think technology will help fill the void a little. Right. We don't sell the stuff, as you know. We don't take a cut for, you know, take mm-hmm. kickbacks. We don't take anything. Not a drop. That's fine. But the software vendors will say, you know, for this talent shortage, you know, you can use our apps and that can help fill the void. And I do think that's true to a certain extent. But really what happens is the software makes the company, like, you need to be more complex. Like, it's a more sophisticated level of value that you bring when you have your basic timesheet, you know, approval and tracking is all automated now, right? I think most services firms, field services, they've dealt with that problem. Even if it's the supervisor in the field at the end of the night who goes back to the hotel and enters all the time for mm-hmm. the people, right? That's usually how that goes down. Or people put in their timesheets. They've got to do it daily. Like the time goes in, somebody approves it, voop, goes into invoicing. Like that's actually a magical integration mm-hmm. that we take for granted today because it's so simple.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's the next level up of resource utilization, assigning people in real time based on their skills and their availability into the next job. There's making sure that people have the right skill set and the right competency to do the job. There's these sort of AI functions that are pretty easy to apply to mm-hmm. a services app that I think will help with some of that gap. But I think at the end of the day, you know, these firms, all of them, anybody who has the word services, even if it's a nonprofit that has programs and services, right? We have a client right now that provides health and human services for people with learning disabilities and all the way from like all the services you can think of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can imagine from a talent, the required talent to do that is very specific. So if we can help our talent to feel more empowered mm-hmm. to do the cool things, the things they love, to focus on the kids that they really want to help and not fill out their timesheet, or deal with really complex budget tracking, right? Or deal with, you know, pulling, you know, trying to find out information and it takes 10 minutes to pull the report instead of pushing a button. I do think there is a competitive advantage that services firms will have with more optimized ERP solutions, professional service automation, project management kinds of solutions for sure. We're working with an engineering services firm. It's very fast growing, great company. And they see that as well, right? Mm-hmm. But now we're gonna probably end up building some fairly complex stuff with them.
Yeah.
And it's gonna make a ton of difference for them. But now we built one of those custom system things that we talk about you're not supposed to do. But that's again because the unicorn doesn't exist.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, there are so many new tools in the market. We're really going to have to segment this by the type of professional services firm. But what new tools have vendors created that these services businesses will be able to utilize in 2024?
Well, I think, I mean, as we both know, the field service management, FSM, right?
Yep. Yes, FSM.
That category of software has just totally taken off.
Oh, right. Yeah, huge boom this year.
Huge.
All of the vendors.
Yes.
Whether they're acquiring or...
Exactly. Whether they're acquiring, like NetSuite just acquired a tool, or they've sort of had a core competency around it, like IFS or, you mm-hmm. know, SAP, of course, has a bunch of stuff there. Even Acumatica has third-party solutions that are coming in. So, you know, I think I had to really think about this, because usually when you hear about field services, enterprise asset management, those kind of go together a little bit. Some of the purists out there are going to yell at me, I'm sure. But you think about Maximo, you know, IBM Maximo has been around for a long time, but it's still, you know, really strong. I think there's going to be a lot more investment in this, yeah. in this space. I think the tools of all of the areas too, it's super easy for them to layer in some AI things. So preventative maintenance actually does get scheduled based off of a pretty complex algorithm. Mm-hmm. That already that's happening, but now we can go to the next level of, you know, that car needs its oil changed over that one, even though it has the same miles, because that one is in this location that's more requires more durability of the car versus this one that's just driving around the city or whatever, right? Yeah. Like those are very simple things that we're already seeing vendors doing.
Yeah.
So I think the field service management area is just going to continue to boom. We did a project with Salesforce this year too, which was interesting to sort of see the platform there and the capabilities that, you know, we can really flesh out even more with a more flexible platform. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
But I also think on the project management, say professional services side, I do think the unicorn is coming. I can't tell you who it's from yet. We're looking like mad. But we were just doing this, Carly and I actually were looking throughout the project management software ecosystem, where you've got, again, professional service automation, project portfolio management, advanced project management, there's resource management solutions, all kinds of stuff, right? And, you know, when you look across what every company wants, they all want the same thing. They want one platform that does four things, that manages the project lifecycle from beginning to end, manages the financials, handles all of the task management and the project management around work breakdown structure, and then some kind of a collaboration framework. Mm-hmm. And again, those functions are, you know, kind of like spread about the universe, it seems like, where you got to go here and you got to go there, but everybody wants the same thing. Even if you look at Microsoft Teams, it has pieces of that, but then there's PPM from Microsoft. There's other tools from Microsoft. Then there's Microsoft partners that have built other solutions on the finance and operations platform for specific micro vertical services firms. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, that's really complex. Right. Yeah. So I think this is an area that I could see in the next 8 years. There is no more of this complexity. It's very straightforward that a couple apps won and everybody uses those because they work good enough, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like the car industry. There are a lot of options for cars, but there really aren't a lot of options for cars. Right now, software is like, there's like a gazillion different car companies out there, right? We have a client that's a new car manufacturer for EV cars. Super cool what they're doing, right? So there's very niche things. Software is just, it's so disparate. It's too disparate. Like if you're out there buying the stuff on your own, and you don't have the experience that we have, I feel bad for you. Normally, kind of hide that a little bit more. No, in this space, I'm like, you're hosed. Good luck. I don't know what you're going to do. Go buy Smartsheet and build out a bunch of stuff. Oh, but wait, maybe we have Monday. Well, or maybe somebody uses Asana. Okay, whoa. What does all that mean? You know, who's going to work on these things in the future? You know, what happens if one of those companies gets sold to somebody and we built all this custom stuff out, you know? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So just beware in this industry, especially beware.
Yeah, definitely. And I would like to, when we're talking about new tools, mobility, that's something. I mean, I think I see from the vendors a lot that there's just more opportunities for people to access their ERP on mobile applications, those kind of things. Is that something that you've been seeing? Is that newer? Is that something that's always kind of been around?
Well, no, I think mobility has been around for a while. But the promise of it, I think, is kind of coming through, right? Where a person really can, especially a field services person, can run their day, not their real work, but their tracking. They can actually do it on a phone. That's true, right? You see, most field services people have two phones that they carry around with them. They've got their corporate phone and then their personal phone. That's very real. You know, tablets in the field. I think the durability of the tablets, you know, has gone up. So that's very real too. You know, you talk to a trucker and every trucker that you go into their truck, I don't really go into a lot of trucks, but, but it's just like the ambulance drivers, right? They all have computers and they've got tablets. They've got barcode scanners and stuff like this so that, you know, when a trucker comes and picks up the goods, they're scanning a document right? When that is. They're signing on it. I received this much stuff. When they drop it off, they're scanning another document. So the mobility is definitely vital across all the service providers for sure. Even for us, you know, I don't know how many people use their phone to enter time. I really don't. I used to, but I don't anymore because I enter a lot of time.
Yeah.
But it is very easy. But I think the applications are going to get really more interesting into the future.
Definitely. So what is the greatest opportunity for these services companies to grow?
I do think of all of the industries that we've done sort of an overview on, I do think there will be more AI for automating manual tasks in services businesses. Mm-hmm. I really do think so. Even thinking to one of our larger services companies we've worked with in the last several years, their billing process was a nightmare, just a nightmare. But they had already been using RPA to scrape contract information off of an original document, sort of compare that to entries that were made for billing and make some decisions, right? But I think they're actually implementing SAP. I think they're going to take that to the next level. So I do think there's going to be some AI that's going to help sort of just plug this labor shortage. But I also think the other thing is, you know, employee engagement and retention, right? It's something that we're sure looking at. Oh my God, as we know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard, right? And the more a longer a person's with an organization, usually the more value they create because they know more of the business processes, they know more customers, et cetera, et cetera. So everybody's kind of incented to want to keep people around, right? But I think that the role that systems can play there becomes more interesting. We had a international software company that was looking at human capital management software. And, you know, very services oriented. They had a professional services group as well as the software developers. But, you know, they went with Workday, even though they were sort of mid-sized, because they wanted that more elegant experience, right? You hear this with UKG. We want a full end-to-end experience for our employees. I was just at another client recently, and they had signs up that were like, you know, what are your future goals? Scan here so that we can do an individual training plan. The funny part of it was the flyers were in the restroom. So it was like a toilet in the middle of like this field of daisies. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? And it says, don't get left alone. You know, do your individual training plan or whatever today. It was really cute.
Funny.
So I think, you know, that whole project life cycle, the whole employee life cycle, like you put those together in systems and it's pretty cool. So I think that's what I would say.
Yeah. So we only have a few more minutes here. So I do kind of want to summarize the major ERP factors that are going to help services companies win in 2024 and really the main takeaways that you want services companies to have from this call.
You bet. So I think, again, like I said, be wary in evaluating new ERP. Mm-hmm. We have a client right now that made an investment in a great project system, projects ERP-based system, services ERP system. And they've grown so much that they've now gone into the next tier of user costs. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I want out. And we're like, well, let's take a look at this first to see what else you're going to go to, right? Mm-hmm. See if that makes sense. So there's not obvious answers for these professional services, field services solutions. There just aren't. There's a lot of great field services solutions. But again, you have vendors now starting to offer their own within the ERP framework, which is nice because you get the integration between the customer and contract, your resources, payroll, employees, and jobs and resource management and assigning to jobs and equipment tracking and depreciation, but also sort of enterprise asset management into accounting. Oh my gosh, that's a lot. Oh, are we done with this call yet? No, I'm going to keep going.
Just about, but that is.
That was a lot, right? But that's that, you know, if you look at even like an IFS, that's the platform play that they're offering to the market. So, you know, again, you got to know what your needs are. And, you know, it's best, I think, to try to get as few solutions as possible. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can't get it all in one. The best of breed is really a very challenging environment to work in, from integrations, total cost of ownership. One app changes, the other one doesn't. It all blows up. Whose problem is it? But at the end of the day, the services firms really need to look at, most likely their needs are not going to be met in one solution. Yeah. But if they can find the hybrids that, you know, the where we get most of the needs met, but then we plug in for collaboration, or we plug in for file management with Box, but then Box integrates into the platform. Great. I think that's going into 2024, especially even working with the clients that we are now, that's going to be the tricky part, is just finding the right solutions that are not just good enough, but can get us to the next level, and then knowing where to plug in the best of breed solutions. That's tricky. That's going to be the challenge.
Yeah. And I think definitely just to end on a little more optimistic, I do think it's coming. Mm-hmm. I think even as the vendors are trying to, across industries, I don't know that services is the focus right now, but I do think they're trying to bring more of that into their platforms natively. So hopefully in the next few years, you'll start to see that lessen. Yeah.
And there are some great, you know, services only ERP, Certinia is one, used to be called Financial Force. You know, you've got sort of the IFS for field services. NetSuite, buying NextService, SAP, of course, has a ton of options around in this. So
Unit 4
is a great example. Very, very good example of focused on just this particular, really globally service organization, which is not easy. And they do a really elegant job there. So you get all of this, these solutions, and I think you're right that they're moving more towards kind of the unicorn.
The unicorn.
We'll end with unicorns.
The unicorns. Well, thank you again, Sean. It's always a pleasure. Yep. There's always so much information that comes out of these calls. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Make sure to keep an eye out for more of these industry calls. If you don't see your industry and you'd like us to cover it, let us know. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out. Thanks again.